God rescued them with a mighty hand, a cloud that guided by the day, and fire by night to show them the way. When Pharaoh's army followed close behind, my God already had a plan in mind to drown the enemy and claim the victory.
The Israelites were terrified. They were dismayed and so they cried, Lord God, have mercy, please. Help us through these troubled seas. When Israel crossed upon dry land, they began to dance and shout, hallelujah, from
Well, praise the Lord. Anybody here been delivered? Has anybody here seen God in action? You can say, I know it for myself. Praise God. I was so thrilled when the witness of God came to me, and by prophecy we were stirred. And it seemed so clear that the word of God was true. And then we had a dilemma. We had to begin to search for somebody that was faithful to this book. I went back to the church where I was raised and I asked them one question. And they closed the book and began to tell me about their tradition and what they thought. And we called and we talked to quite a number of individuals with similar results. But these apostolics kept giving us biblical responses. And they would say, well, look right here, read right here, look at this, see what the prophet says, see what the New Testament writer says. And then they would say, and we know it's for you because we have it. We know what he can do by the power of his name because we've experienced it. We know that he still gives out the Holy Ghost because we've experienced the Holy Ghost. We know that he answers prayer because we've had prayers answered. Praise God. It's an awesome thing to get firsthand information about the Word of God. I'm so glad tonight that I'm a part of a fellowship that walks with God in such a degree that the biblical account is not something you have to edit in order to relate to. I'm so glad we don't have to look at the Bible tonight and say, well, that's on the menu, but we're not serving that. Don't you hate to go in a restaurant and get all ready and they say, well, but we don't have that today. I've been in some places where the pickings were really lean concerning the Word of God. But we believe your most accurate approach is to step across the broad expanse of history and to experience what they experienced in the first chapters of the book of Acts. It is the beginning, the birthplace of the church. It has not changed. Men have changed and religions have changed and cultures have changed. But the admonition of the apostle is the same. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue our study in the book of Psalms, and we'll be on the 46th Psalm tonight. But we'll take a text from Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin with verse 24. And Jesus is teaching with authority. And he gives us one of those masterful and everlasting analogies that is so instrumental to our living for God with success. Matthew chapter 7 and beginning in verse 24. And everyone say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. How awesome, how wonderful are your ways, O God. We thank you tonight for your law, your rule, your statute, your commandment. We're thankful tonight to handle the eternal word of God, the truth of God in this house. And everyone say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, in Matthew chapter 7 and a sister scripture in Luke chapter 6, the difference in Luke chapter 6 is that with one line or two, the word says, and he dug deep and laid his foundation upon a rock. Same story, a little difference in the wording there. But it's a story about life and an encounter with the word of God and a story about our expectations of standing in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, if you'll do the word of God, then you are wise. And by obeying the word of God, you lay a foundation on a rock, something immovable. Because in both of the stories, the rain comes. In both of the stories, the flood waters rise. In both of the accounts, the wise and the unwise, or the righteous and the sinner, it doesn't matter how you couch that story, in those that are living for God and those that are not, one thing is sure, the rain's going to fall. The wind will buffet your house. The flood waters will come to your house. The only variable, the only question there is it built upon a rock? Because the wise man's house after the storm, when the morning sun rose, the house was found standing. And the residents were secure inside that house of faith, that house of trust in God. But every other house is going to come down. If you're trusting in a dollar bill, that house is going to come down. If you're trusting in the systems of the world, that house is going to come down. If you think you can keep it all together in the natural, and just by the love that you have for one another, that will suffice, that house too will come down. Because there's not a house that's going to stand, no matter how wonderful, no matter how powerful the virtues and the principles of it, if it's not built upon the word of God. The storm will come and the house will fall. My God, tonight I want to be rooted and established in the word of God. I want to say yes to God. I want to build my house upon a rock. And in doing so, you've got the confidence that it will last the night. Someone say praise the Lord. Psalms 46 is a psalm for the chief musician and the sons of Korah. And it begins with a familiar phrase and a powerful phrase. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. When we were sitting in the opening moments of Ma Hollander's funeral this week, I was here with Brother Wilbanks, and the Holy Ghost came on me and spoke to me. And the Holy Ghost said, we do not approach this with timidity. We don't approach this carefully and fearfully, but we approach it with confidence and with boldness, because God has made a promise, and the promise of God is sure. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to know God is our refuge and God is our strength. I've got good friends and I've got a good family and we've got a wonderful country that we live in. And there are a lot of things that are nice about living in Birmingham, Alabama in 2006. But I'll tell you, the only refuge that is sure is our God. And the only sanctuary that is real is our God. And the only strength that will be dependable in a time of trouble in your life is the strength that God affords. Somebody say praise the Lord. The word of God doesn't just say he is present in a time of trouble. The word of God said he is very present. He is really present. He is evermore present. He is ever present. present in a time of trouble. He's right here. He's as close as a breath of prayer. He's as close as a bowed knee in a head. He's as close as you're crying on his name. Have any of you found tonight that God is as close as the whispering of the name of Jesus? He's a very present help in a time of need. Praise God. If I would call the roll tonight, and we did it like they did it back in the school day, and I were to call your name, you might say present or here. But not everybody that comes to church is very here or very present. I mean, we got all kinds of folks in the house of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Old brother Stan Davidson wrote a song years ago called Joe's Gone to Six Flags. Talking about folks in church. He said he's riding the big wheel. He was there in the body, but he wasn't present. And you wives know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you're talking to your husband. In about three words, he glazes over. And you know he's not there anymore. Now, come on, there's an amen in the house, I know. He's not really very there. He's not very present. But I'm glad tonight that the Word of God said, our God, our refuge, and our strength is very present help in a time of trouble. I mean, he's on the job. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Has anybody gotten up in the middle of the night? The phone would ring or the dream would shock you and you fell on your face and begun to call on him. But you didn't have to wait for an appointment and you didn't have to wait in a line. And I don't know how he does it with all of these people on the face of the earth. One of the most incredible miracles is that God listens to your prayer and your Chinese brother at the same time. I'm glad that God is in this prayer room and thousands of prayer rooms all over the world, all at the same time, saying, yes, my child, I hear you, I'm with you. And he knows if you're grieving, he comforts you. And he knows if you're weak, he lifts you up. And he knows if you're sick, and he heals your body. My God, I'm glad tonight for a very present help in a time of trouble. Life is surely full of trouble, and we're going to see our share of trouble. And if you haven't, you just haven't lived long enough. But I don't want to go into that fight without him on my side. The converse is, I don't care what kind of fight it is, as long as he's on my side. I'm not afraid to walk in it tonight if he's on my side. Somebody needs to shout about it a little bit. I'm not afraid to walk in that valley if Jesus is in that valley. I'm not afraid of this new challenge as long as my God is in the middle of it. The patriarch said, God, if you don't go up there, don't take us. If your presence is not there, then we don't want to go. And that's the way I feel about that tonight. God, we plan on having church at 6:30 on Sunday nights and 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night at 7. But if you're not going to be there, let me know. Because I don't want to open the door. I don't even want to get out of bed if you're not going to be there. I don't want to show up where you're not. They used to sing that song, I can't walk without you, Jesus. My God, I don't know what I'd do without him in my life. Don't you know what we've been through in the last year? We started the year off with a tsunami. An earthquake in Pakistan killed 100,000. And the hurricane season was the most violent in recorded history. And the earth, Brother Birch said yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast, he said it seems like it's groaning to be clothed in its new creation. Paul is in agreement with that tonight. I don't want to live another day outside the presence of God. If I didn't have him right now, I'd make it a point. I'd be in this altar in the next 5 seconds. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd get the Holy Ghost right now. And I tell you what, we'll stop this service while you receive it. If I wasn't ready, I wouldn't wait another moment. Sister Ashley is excited, and we're excited with her. Her dad called, wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. But he wants to wait till we get together. I said, oh, don't wait. Do it now. Do it now. I think they might be going on a mission down to Baton Rouge. Get him off of that church. He's a very present help in a time. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Have you found him to be sure and true and faithful? Praise God. When I'm in trouble, I go to the rock of my salvation. I run to that stone that the Word of God speaks of. The songwriter said, I stand by the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, but I'm not going to build it on an unsure foundation. I'm going to build it on a rock. You don't need to have an experience in God that you're worried about or wondering about or troubled about. You need to be able to get up in the morning, no matter the circumstance of your life, and say, by the Word of God, He is with me. He is very present with me right now. And whatever I'm going through, I know He's going through it with me. It's way too late in the dispensation to have a substandard experience with God. You need to know that you know that you know. You don't need an experience where you've got to come back every other week and rededicate your life to God. You need to find an altar and dedicate it for the very first time for real. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Well, praise God. Praise God. Everything around us is shifting sand. The old songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. David said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are saved. I'm not afraid, gentlemen, tonight to say I depend upon Him. I'm not afraid to stand here before you as men and as a man and say, I don't have what it takes to make it through another day without Him. I run to that tower. When I'm in trouble, I run to Him. Don't make a mistake about it. I don't have enough strength, and I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough understanding. I've got a God that has it all. Run to the strong tower of the name of Jesus. Praise God. Life circumstances are going to happen to every one of us. And those circumstances won't always be happy. They won't always be what you've dreamed of. Sometimes they will be what you feared. And when the thing you feared the worst comes upon you, there's no friend like Jesus. There's no place of stability like standing in the power of His Word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to give you a storm warning tonight and tell you there's a storm coming. I don't have to speak in prophecy to tell you there's a storm coming. Now, you may get a specific word from somebody, and they may come and tell you you're about to go through a storm. Well, you need to batten down the hatches and get ready. Because God will give you a heads up. And I thank God for a word of prophecy. But just in a general sense, we live in the world. And the world is a stormy place. And if you live long enough, that storm's going to come to your house. The question is, what's it built upon? Where are you living at? Praise God. I want to have a biblical mentality where that when it's time for the killing frost, I can say with the Old Testament writer, blow upon my garden, oh Southern old winter wind, because he knew that there was a biting cold that was going to come and it was going to kill everything in his garden. But he also knew that the sweet spices would be released by that winter chill. Praise God. You'd love it to be springtime all the time, but it's not going to be. There's going to be the touch of winter in your life. A biblical mentality says, bring it on. God knows what He's doing. Bring it to me. God knows all about it. God, set your hand upon me. Just give me the sense and the strength to walk with you in the middle of this. Praise the Lord. Brother Butch, they'll send your job to Mexico. They will. And then you got to scramble. And it's not what we'd want to happen. It's not what we'd want to happen at 25 or at 30, much less in a place where you were looking to slow down and kind of coast here for a while. But they always move the cheese. The fact of life. They always move the cheese. And we don't get in line for sickness, but sickness comes. Trouble. That storm's going to come. But what is your house built upon? Some of the finest people that ever lived for God, they've all gone down to the graveyard with somebody they loved. Death doesn't care which house it comes to. That's just part of living in this life. But I'll tell you, there's a God that can walk through all of these things with you. That job can get changed. You can have to move to Camden, Tennessee, but you're right on the money. God's just the same in Camden as he is in Birmingham. God's going to be as great in your life there. I want to tell you this, I believe God will be greater in your life there, and you're going to be a greater blessing there than you've been here. And that's going to be hard to accomplish because you've been a tremendous blessing here. But I'm going to speak it to you right now. You're going to be a blessing in that house greater than you've ever walked before. You're going to be a greater blessing there than you've been in this house. My God. Well, praise God. Because God is impervious to the circumstances. He's just God all day, every day, 7 days a week. Praise God. We're going to build our homes and our lives upon a foundation. Death is going to come. You know, friends, just by nature of humankind, friends will let you down. Jesus' story is, Brother Travis, you can't lose your faith over these thunderstorms that come. You can't lose your faith when the high waters start to buffet the wall works of your house. And when that wind begins to crank and test you, and that's all it is, it's a test. When that wind begins to crank and blow on your house, you can't lose your faith. I mean, that's just an imperative from on high. We can't lose our faith. We can't turn away from God. Praise God. So those things are going to happen. And I've seen people lose out with God over the dumbest things. I've seen people get their feelings hurt, and I've seen people go through minor things and choke in the spirit. And then I've seen people walking through life, minding their own business, get run over by a Mack truck. That's figuratively, not literally. And it makes you disoriented to get run over by a Mack truck. For your wife to walk in and say, "I hate you and I'm leaving." And you've been praying and you've been living for God and you've been doing right. And somebody tears your heart out. I'm not saying it's easy. Jesus is not saying it's easy. Calvary wasn't easy. But it was worth it. And for you to stand and live for God, it's going to be worth it. Well, praise God. But a friend can tear your heart out. A loved one can tear your heart out, and it will test you to your very soul to see as to what you're built upon. Praise God. Peter said, "They may go, but I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you." Peter was bold. Peter loved him. And he was, I believe, absolutely sincere when he said that. A lot of people don't mean to hurt you when they do. But it is one of the truths of life that if you are open to people, you will get hurt.
Amen. That's right.
Now, some folks turtle up and they just say, "I'll be a rock. I'll be an island. And you can't touch me. You can't hurt my feelings." But you can't exercise the plan of God like that. See, here's the posture of Calvary. Wide open, arms wide open, leading with the chin. Your friends betray you. Your loved ones tear your heart out and stomp on it. And what do you do? "Father, forgive them. Because they don't, well, hurt them a little bit. No, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And before the second night was out, within just hours, Peter said, I don't know him. I never knew him. And the shepherd was smitten and the sheep were scattered. Praise God. Jesus had this compelling plan and he never deviated from it. Although everybody that he loved, it seemed, had turned away from him. The Old Testament scripture, my dear friend with whom I have broken bread has turned his heel against me. Praise God. Don't ever say God doesn't know what you've been through, because God knows what you've been through. He's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's had his heart broken. He's been betrayed. And all of that is just part and parcel of living in this earth. But if I'm built upon a rock, I can survive the day and I can live for God and I can be productive and actualize all of the potential of God in my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Somebody say, therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. Now, you got to really get some moxie to say that. We won't be afraid even if the earth is removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. The writer is just simply saying, no matter if the world itself begins to crumble and shake, there is a place in God. Now, the admonition of the word of God is clear. It's not for you to sit there and say, well, I can't relate to this brother that's writing this song. Maybe he's guilty of hyperbole. Maybe he's exaggerating a little bit. Maybe he's saying, no, no, this is the word of God. The word of God is saying that if you're built on the rock and if you're rooted in the kingdom in the way that God designed it, that the very earth can begin to shake around you and the trouble can swell over you. But you can stand and you can live and you can prosper in the kingdom of God. I want somebody that's been down to the graveyard with a loved one, but you still got your faith. You say amen. I want somebody that's been down to the hospital, but you still got your faith tonight. You say amen. I want somebody that's had a friend turn their back on you and break your heart, but you've still got your faith in God. You shout amen. I want somebody that's had a hero fall and you stumbled and you staggered, but that hero wasn't big enough to take you down because you were built on a rock. I want you to shout amen. The word of God is saying, no matter what happens, the mountains into the sea, the very earth shaking under my feet, there is nothing that can move me if I'm rooted in the word of God. Now that's powerful to me. That's an inspiration to me to become rooted in the word of God. That's a motivating factor to tell me I see a storm coming. I've got to check my foundations. I've got to make sure I'm anchored to the rock. I've got to make sure that I'm right in this kingdom. Because when that storm comes, after the dust is settled and the day breaks, I want to be found standing and faithful. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him. Praise God. Somebody say, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There's something about this apostolic walk. There's something about this apostolic experience. The disciples came back to that place in Samaria where Jesus had sat on the well side with the woman and they had a little food for him. And he didn't want any food. He said, I've got meat to eat of that you know not. I've got something going on in my life that you don't know about. And he had just told the woman about a well, not like the physical well she was drawing from. But he said, if you drink of the well, the water that I have, he said, it will become a well inside of you, springing up into everlasting life. My God, the whole world around me can be a desert, but there is a river. Ha! There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. When the stock markets tank, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. When everybody's depressed around you, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. My God, I don't have to be impacted by those things around me. If I'm rooted on the rock, Christ Jesus. Don't you know, have you read that everywhere they went in the wilderness, there was a rock? And that depending on the moment, Moses would strike the rock or speak to the rock, and water would come forth out of the rock. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, don't you know that all of our brethren were baptized in the sea and in the cloud before Moses? And he said, don't you know that that rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ? It followed them in the wilderness. What's that noise? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, that's the rock. It's a little slow, but it always gets here. It shows up. There'll be water in the morning. That rock has a fountain in it. My God, built upon the rock, and the enemy can besiege me, and he can cut me off from those things outside of me, but he can't cut me off from the life-giving flow that comes right up out of that rock who is Christ Jesus. There's a fissure in that rock, and the other end of that is connected to something in the heavenlies, and where it comes out in my life, something heavenly flows, and every dead thing can be brought to life. And every sick thing can be healed. I read about those healing waters in the story of the millennial. There's this great earthquake, and the waters are going to flow to the very gates of Jerusalem. But the most amazing thing, the Bible says that there's going to be fishing at En-Gedi. En-Gedi is a little port city on the banks of the Dead Sea. And there's nothing in the Dead Sea but dead stuff. But when that living water begins to flow, it's going to come right down that Jordan Valley. It's going to pell-mell into that Dead Sea. And I'm telling you, if your life right now seems lost and without direction and unproductive, if you can get that water flowing in your life, I want you to understand tonight that all the dead can be brought to life again by one touch of that living stream. Sometimes you'll feel besieged, and the enemy can close you in, and circumstances can close you in, and sickness can close you in, and all of the voices around you can be negative. We got people living for God, and nobody in their household is helping them. We've got folks living for God, and they're doing it all by themselves. They don't have any friends that are encouraging them to live for God. But let me tell you something. If you're standing out there all by yourself, if you're on that rock, I want you to know tonight, you may seem like that you're besieged and cut off from every good thing outside, but the good stuff from the kingdom of God comes up out of the rock. If you're built upon, if you're rooted in that rock, there's a stream of living water that flows out of that rock tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, when I hunker down in that place of prayer, I can feel something. I don't have to wait on some preacher to call me and encourage me. I've got a God flow that encourages me. I don't need another brother to call me and encourage me. Lord, help us. We were starting a whole missions work, and people would come to you and look at you like you'd been sentenced to death. And then after you'd been at it for about a year, I know it's hard. I know it must be tough. I know it must be difficult for you. And my wife would say, oh, we're having fun. And they wanted you to get down and wallow in pity with them. They wanted you to get down and talk about how hard it is to live for God. Oh, my God, we're hanging on, sister. It's hard. I've got my cross. and I'm barely hanging on, but pray for my faith that I'll make it another day. My God, I don't read that in the Word of God. I read, if the mountains be removed, if the earth shakes and the mountains fall into the sea, I shall not be moved. I'm built on a rock. You got to get a mentality that says, I will not be moved. Somebody shout it right now. Tell your neighbor. Tell your problem. My God, clap your hands unto him. We've got everything we need. God built it into the program. You want revival, you can have all you want. I'm saying you want revival, you can have all you want. You want an outpouring, you can have all you want. It's built into the program. There's a river, the streams thereof. Verse 5, talking about Zion. Now, in case you think that I'm misappropriating and I'm in error theologically, when Jesus is at the well with that woman, she says, look, here in Samaria, we worship in the mountain. Our fathers have worshipped there, and they had worshipped there for hundreds of years. She said, you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. Where's the right place to worship? And he said, lady, the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshipers are going to worship in spirit and truth. He said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yeah, that was the location before. The temple was in Jerusalem. But when he died on that cross and the veil in the temple was torn, we entered into a brand new dispensation. And on the day of Pentecost, the wellspring broke up. Praise God. The word of God said, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her. And early in the morning, early. Praise God. God was in the midst of Jerusalem, but today God is in the midst of his church. Wherever you find spirit and truth, God is there. If you got spirit and truth in your life, God is there. If you've got spirit, don't listen to what the devil says. If you've got spirit and truth in your home, God is there. If you've got spirit and truth in that prayer meeting, God is there. Don't judge it by what you feel. Don't judge it by what you hear. Judge it by the word of God. I am rooted in the word of God. There'll be days that you don't feel like God is there. But what does the word of God say? He's always with you. A very present help in a time of need. You don't operate by what you're feeling. You don't operate by what the world says or by what the enemy says or by what your critic says. You operate by the force and the motive force of the word of the living God. God is in the midst. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, open your mouth and say, God is in the midst of my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got everything I need. Come on, do you believe that? Do you believe you have everything you need? I'm telling you. I believe you have everything that you need. You've got everything that you need to prosper. You've got everything that you need to have revival. You've got everything you need to be a prayer warrior and a soul winner. You've got everything you need to walk in the power of God's promise. Praise God. Right now, God's in the midst. Praise God. The heathen rage. Kingdoms are moved, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. It's easy for God. It's easy for God. Somebody say it's easy for God. The Lord of hosts is with us. Somebody say the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. I love it when he says the God of Jacob. Often he says the God of Israel or the God of Judah, and that's all wonderful. But I love it when he says the God of Jacob, because Jacob is the unregenerated Israel. Jacob is the cheater and the liar and the fallen one that wants the things of God, but he's weak in his flesh. And I'm so glad that he is the God of Jacob. I'm so glad you don't have to be perfect to have God moving on your behalf. I'm so glad you can get up from wherever you are right now, no matter your condition, and God wants you to embrace his kingdom right now. Well, praise God. Shout, the Lord of hosts is with us. Praise God. You butlers, the Lord of hosts is with you. Doesn't matter where you're going. Doesn't matter what that circumstance is. I don't believe you're leaving here but by anything other than the design of God. I don't think you're leaving here because you tried to stay. Well, praise God. You tried to stay. We want you to stay, but God is sovereign. And God said, I've got a job for them. I've got something promising for them. I'm going to use them. So you walk out in the middle of it and you say, where is the challenge, God? Where is the job, God? And he's going to open the door for you. Praise God. Praise God. Doesn't matter if the heathen rage and the earth is moved. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear asunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. And everybody say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. It's a refrain here at the end. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I can't tell you what next week, what next month is going to hold. I can't tell you what circumstances are going to develop in your life. But I can tell you that these psalms are bold when they declare for the people of God, if the earth is moved, and the sea swallows up the mountains, we won't fear and we won't be moved. How confident do you feel in your experience in God right now? Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Does anybody feel bold in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am built on a rock. Tell him the name of the Lord is my strong tower. And I'm not afraid. Though I walk through the valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, I want you to know God's with us, church. God is with us, church. And if God be with us, praise God. All over the house, lift up your hands right now. And I want you to proclaim victory over every problem that's pressuring your life right now. I want you to talk about what God is able to do in that problem. I want you to begin to talk about the victory that God has already won. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's already prepared it from the foundation of the earth. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Hallelujah. The promises of God are yes and amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Take somebody's hand by you. And I want you to tell them, I'm about to pray for you. I am immovable. Come on, you need to say this. Do you really believe that tonight? Do you trust God to say, I am immovable? I am unshakable. Because I'm built on the rock, Christ Jesus. Come on now, don't be lying. If you can't say it, you need to run to this altar tonight. But if it's true in your life, you need to say, no matter what happens, I'll be here when the dust settles. No matter what the enemy does, I'm going to stand in the kingdom of God. My God, if somebody needs to come to this altar now and stomp on the grave of your enemy and make a proclamation in the face of God tonight, I want you to come. I want you to come and say, no turning back. No backing up. Come on. Somebody needs to shout about your victory. Somebody needs to pray for renewed victory. Come on, church. I need somebody to do the work of the church tonight.
My rock, my soul. Well, he's a wheel in the middle. Just a jewel. Hallelujah.
If you need
hallelujah.
Strength,
yeah.
If you need help,
hallelujah.
Turn to somebody and
yeah.
Say, pray for me
hallelujah.
That my strength doesn't fail.
Well, he's my rock. Yes, he's the rock, my soul, my he's the wheel in the middle. Yes, he is. He will never, no, no, never, never let me. He's just a jewel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shield, yeah.
He's a wheel.
He's a wheel.
Why don't you clap your hands unto him and bless his name? Praise God. Praise God. He said, I'm going to build my church upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. If you're still praying or you want to linger in this altar, you just take as long as you want. So good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Want to be in prayer with these requests that went forth. There'll be prayer here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The prayer team will be opening up, and we want to be in prayer.